All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Mike DeCourcy. He is a Big Ten college basketball analyst and a columnist for Sporting News. Mike, welcome into the show with David and Carla.
Hi, David. How are you?
Well, we're doing great, and we're fired up about college basketball. Are you ready for the season?
I am, absolutely. A little earlier, I guess, than we're used to. This opening date that we have tomorrow is kind of a new deal. Usually the season had begun on a Friday, and most often the majority of the games were fairly low-key, a big power school playing a team, what we call a bye game, where you don't have to return the game to their gym at a later date. They come in, they play the victim, and they leave. That's what most of the openers had been before.
Yep.
But now we have this opening date, and we'll have the Champions Classic involving Kentucky versus Duke and Michigan State versus Kansas. And I think that that'll be a nice start for the college basketball season.
They're trying to grab those people before March Madness. They're getting a head start on it with those openers.
Yeah, Carly, that's one of the things that's always been a problem with college basketball is the lack of a pure opening day. College football kind of bleeds in that way too, but they have a couple of events and that get it going. But obviously, a baseball has a huge opening day, and the NFL has a huge opening weekend, and all that sort of thing. And college basketball has never really been able to figure that out. And you add in the fact that that for some people, college basketball doesn't become an occupation or a preoccupation until they're done with football. I've never quite been able to understand the mentality of that. Like, okay, if we're playing hoops on Tuesday, you can't pay attention if you're a college football fan because what, you're in your dorm room breaking down game film for Saturday? I never understood quite why that's the case, but it seems to be for some.
Well, let's ask you about some of the storylines coming into the season. I mean, obviously, in a one-and-done era, there are lots of great freshmen entering college basketball this year. If you were starting a college basketball team right now, who would you most want to have on your team?
I'd most want to have LeBron James, but I guess you're not giving me the entire universe. Of the players that are coming back, that's an interesting question because it's not an overwhelming group of players. It really isn't. I hope that doesn't sound bad. It's just that you just don't have the obvious, gosh, that guy just takes your breath away. The player that fascinates me the most is Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I tell this story to explain why he does. When I went to the summer tournament that he played in last year in Spartanburg, South Carolina, I got there on a Friday. The tournament had been going on for a few days, and they didn't have any rosters left. So I saw that his team was playing pretty much almost at the same time I walked in, so I hustle over to the court where he's playing, and I'm trying to figure out which one he is. Now, I'd seen him on tape with all the YouTube dunks and all that, and so I look on the court trying to figure out which one he is, what number or whatever, and I see this one guy, and I'm like, well, that can't be him. He's too big to do the things that I've seen on tape. That's not possibly him. The guy's enormous. And it was him. Because, I mean, he is the biggest, most dynamic big man that I've ever seen. I mean, he flies above the rim, and he's a tank. It's just the most ridiculous combination of size and dynamism and power. And so it does all that add up to a great high-level basketball player? I kind of think it will, but I think it'll be interesting to see how.
We're speaking with Mike DeCourcy from Sporting News, also studio analyst at the Big Ten Network, talking about Zion Williamson, keeping with Duke, Mike. So Coach K, good news is he's got Zion Williamson on his roster. Bad news is, probably, are we going to not have Zion Williams after a year?
Oh, definitely. I mean, almost definitely. Yeah. Certainly he will not, unless something terrible goes on, an injury or something. So let's hope he doesn't. In all reality, Zion's a great kid, really, solid young man. I got a chance to spend some time with him on that day that I visited Spartanburg, and he was a lovely young man, so I hope it all works out great for him. But that's the way college basketball has been for a while now, and You know, what amazes me is the Rice Commission that was formed after the FBI investigation and the arrests of several assistant coaches and all that. I mean, they basically did everything they could to chase the one-and-done age limit rule out of basketball. And they did everything they could, and I think it'll eventually succeed. And the people who support that, which is, by the way, a foolish idea, a foolish endeavor to do that. But the people who support it think that when it's gone, everybody's going to go back to playing 4 years in college. They're not. There will still be guys who come and play 1 year. It just won't be the ones like Zion or Greg Oden or Kevin Durant. I mean, those guys just probably mostly won't show up. And then instead, you'll still have the usual flood of Chris Bosches and Corey Maggette's and Lual Deng's. They'll still do that. So you're not making the game better by chasing those players out. You're making the game worse on all levels.
That's a great point. That's a great point, Mike. Question, speaking of investigations, I have to quickly ask you, former Louisville head coach Rick Pitino, is he going to coach again at the college level or talk now of the NBA level?
You know, when he left Louisville last year, I said that some of it will depend on what the NBA's approach to him is. And certainly he's as good a basketball mind as there is, as there ever has been. But will he, you know, he's been used to being the king for almost 25, 30 years now. He hasn't really had a real boss since the early days at Kentucky. And once he, you know, even though he certainly respected C.M. Newton, once he reached a high level, at a certain point, he sort of was in charge of his own thing. And if he wasn't happy, you know, they were going to try to make him happy. And then we went to Boston and now in Louisville. So he hasn't had a boss. So do the people who will be the bosses, the GMs and the VPs of player personnel or whatever their title are, will they believe that Rick will work for them instead of working for Rick? And I don't know that there will be somebody out there who will feel comfortable with that. And then in terms of college, I think some of that is somewhat dependent on where he's willing to coach. He's been at the highest level for 30 years, not since he left UMass, has he had to, Boston U, has he had to sort of work at the lower stages of the game or the middle stages of the game. And I'm not sure whether he'd be willing to do that. I don't know he'd have to go all the way off Broadway. But would he be willing to coach somewhere, in the American Conference? I don't know whether he would.
We're talking to Mike DeCourcy. He's a columnist for Sporting News. Okay, Mike, you mentioned the FBI investigation and all the work that was done last year. Is college basketball cleaner and more in the straight and narrow after all that work?
Honestly, I don't think so. I don't think that it's really slowed down that much. That people that I talk to don't feel that it has. The ones that are actually in the recruiting game that are either really closely observing it or actually fighting against those people. I don't think it's changed that much. And I don't know that. See, the problem is that although certainly the stakes have changed now, that people might go to prison for involvement in things that in the past had only been considered to be NCAA violations. People might now go to prison. I don't know whether that's necessarily going to dissuade anybody who feels that they need the edge or that they want the edge. If prison were a complete deterrent, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that we have in America or the world. So I don't know that that's going to necessarily chase the people out of the game who prefer or don't mind breaking the rules.
So, Mike, tomorrow we're going to see number one Kansas taking on number 10 Michigan State in the opening night. Let's take a look at Kansas. So they've won a mind-blowing 15 conference titles in a row. Is there anybody in the Big 12 that can make that streak come to an end? And based on national championship tally, do you think Bill Self is underachieving as the coach of the Jayhawks?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, you don't win. The statement you just made, 14, 15 national, or excuse me, Big 12 championships in a row, you can't do that and underachieve. He's made, I think, three Final Fours now. He's performed in the tournament everywhere he's been, from Tulsa Elite Eight to Illinois Elite Eight, and now Kansas I think he's a tremendous coach. And you know, obviously, what we were just discussing, you know, he's got a player whose name and was mentioned and whose guardian was mentioned during the trial that just completed a couple of weeks ago, and who therefore isn't playing as they investigate whether he's eligible, Silvio De Sousa. So that'll impact their team a little bit, but they still have a loaded roster. I think Kansas State could. It's not inconceivable to me that Kansas State's terrific, and I could see them perhaps grabbing a share of the conference title, for instance. But you know, that 14 in a row that Kansas has now, that's not 14 outright. There have been two or three in there where somebody shared it, mm-hmm. but Kansas was always one of them. Kansas was always a part of it. And so I could see the Wildcats at K-State getting a share, but I can't see them overtaking KU to knock them completely off that perch.
Mike, we've got about a minute left. We've talked about a lot of longstanding successful coaches like Coach K and Bill Self. Who's a young and up-and-coming coach that you'd like to highlight?
Well, you know, a year ago, we picked Mick Cronin at Cincinnati as our National Coach of the Year. And that award doesn't always get the attention that it deserves because it's right in the middle of everybody's trying to get a tournament bid and all that kind of stuff. And I thought that Mick did an unbelievable job at Cincinnati when everybody else that was in the American Conference was really struggling to maintain their grip on their program. And we saw Memphis go down and coaching changes there. And we saw UConn go down and Kevin Ollie lose his job 4 years after winning a national championship. And Temple fell down, and this will be Fran Dunphy's last year at Temple. But Mick was able to not only keep Cincinnati relevant for, I think they've made 8 or 9 consecutive NCAAs, but also to get all the way up to a number 2 seed. I don't think he got enough recognition for being able to accomplish that.
Fair enough. That's Mike DeCourcy. He's a Big Ten college basketball analyst, columnist for Sporting News. Mike, thank you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
David, Carlos, thank you very much.
Take care.